Father. There's only one thing that I'm praying for before I go to the cross. God, make them one. Make them love each other, because they don't do that very well. Make them one body. Teach them the kind of relationship that you and I have, Father. That's really what Jesus is saying, right? He says, Father, you know how we are one, and you sent me, and you love me, and you show me your love. Let them have that same kind of love for each other. Because you see, Jesus knew something that we don't often get. He knew that if we started with that starting point of love, then all the other stuff is going to fall into place. If we start by being considerate and compassionate and understanding and tolerant and just loving, if we just start loving each other, then all the other things, all the power and all the prayer and all the things that we need, all that stuff's going to come together. But it won't happen until the church starts to love, until the body starts to really be one body, one body. He says, verse 21, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you and I, just like you are in me and I am in you, and may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Think about that for a minute. I've been thinking about that all week, that, you know, the reason, why do we got to be united? Why does it matter whether we're one body? What does it matter whether we get along? Jesus gives us the answer. He says, so that the world will know that, Father, that you sent me. The unity, the reason why we need to be one in spirit and have one body, it's so that the world out there knows that we are really the genuine article and that Jesus was sent by the Father. And the reality is, is that the world doesn't really believe that. There's a lot of people in the world who believe that there's a God. But if you'd say to them, do you believe that the Father sent the Son for you? They just go, no, I don't believe that. That's just like way too far-fetched. Just like saying an alien is coming to do something to, you know, whatever it is. It's just way out there, right? They don't believe that the Father sent the Son, because we're not standing together, because we're not united, and because the messages that we are bringing out to the world are conflicting. We fight with each other. We're in competition with each other. We're against the other churches or the other Christians. We're building our own kingdoms. We're putting our own names on the buildings. And we're sending a message when we do that. And that message is that really, you know, God didn't really send the Son. Because we're not bringing the same message. We're not bringing the message of unity and the message of love and the message of what Jesus Christ has done. We're so busy building our own kingdoms that we are not building the kingdom of God. And when we do that, there's a mixed message that gets out there. And that message leaves people going, well, I don't get this Christianity thing. It's just all over the map. They're not saying the same thing. They're all self-promoting. Let me give you an example of that, and then you're going to say something. I haven't given any dog stories for a while, but I go to the dog park. And I never knew there was a dog park until a couple of years ago. I didn't know people had such a thing, but I've been bringing my dog to the dog park two or three times a week. And he likes it, or she does, and I do too. It's good exercise for me as well. And I found something interesting about the dog park, and that's that there's all kinds of people that bring their dogs there. And it is an amazing place to do evangelism. It is the one place where people just expect you to walk with them, and they talk to you. And we can just talk about all kinds of things. And as long as our dogs get along, everything's cool. So it's amazing. Like, I've had some of the best conversations I've ever had in like 30 years since we came to Red Deer. And there's what happens is if your dog gets along, nothing else matters, and you do the loop. You walk around the loop and you start talking about your children, and you start talking about, you know, what you're doing, and you talk about how bad the Flames are doing, and, you know, you talk about all kinds of things about their children and eventually you get to ask the question, well, what's your job or what kind of work do you do? And I walk all the time with this guy who's a police officer. His name is Al. We've been walking for probably 8-9 months now. And for a while, it was just all about, you know, who are you and, you know, what's your dog like and what do you do about this? And anyways, we've got into some other conversations. He finally one day he said to me, so what do you do? What do you do for a living? And I said, well, I'm a pastor of a church. And he looked at me because he'd been talking about his drinking and he'd been using some verbal bombs that I don't usually use, you know. And he looked at me, and And he didn't apologize, but he looked at me and he said, "I hate religious people." And I said, "Al, so do I." "I don't like them at all." You know, and he went on and he started talking, you know, he said, "The church," you know, he gave me the history of the church. He knew a lot about our fighting. He knew a lot about our conflicts and about our bitterness. He says, "If that's what it's like, I don't want any part of it." And I said to him, "I know, I understand that. And there's a big part, I agree with you. I don't really want a big part of that either. I'm, you know, Al, I'm sorry." That's what I said to him. "I am sorry that we have given you such a bad example of what love should look like. I really am. But I want you to know that God's not like that. People are like that, but God's not like that." And he said to me, "Well, don't get me wrong." He says, "I believe in God." He says, "But I don't want anything to do with the church." And I said, "Okay, I understand that. But you know what, Al? It'd be a lot easier if you didn't believe in God." He said, "What?" I says, "Well, you say you believe in God." He says, "Yeah, that's a, to me, it's obvious there's a God. There has to be a God, right? I know there's a God." I said, "Well, I agree with you, Al. But believing there's a God is harder than not believing that there's a God. It'd be easier for you if you told me today that you didn't believe in God at all, that you were just agnostic or an atheist." "You know, I'm not an atheist. I believe that there's a God." "But why is it harder?" he said to me. And I said, "Let me tell you why it's harder. Because if you believe there's a God, Al, you need to ask the next question. If you don't believe that there's a God, you don't need to ask any questions. You're done and you can go and live your life. But if you believe that there's a God, you make that statement, there is a God, you need to ask the next question." He said, "Well, what's the next question?" I said, "Well, the next question is, so now what?" Because if there's a God, the question is, what does he want? And who is he? And how do I get to know him? See, because if you believe in God, you can't stop there. You can't stop there. Well, I guess my point is that he had been so turned off by Christians, by religion, by religious institutions and organizations, I mean. He'd been so turned off that it's exactly what Jesus says here, that he did not know that the Father had sent the Son. He did not understand that, okay? He didn't understand it because our testimony, our witness has been so in conflict and it's been so self-promoting, right? And the point is, we need to love each other, otherwise the world is never going to come to know Jesus Christ. We need to stand together. Okay. Well, I'll go on. Because it goes really to the next thing that you said. And look at this. Look at verse 23. "May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me." He doesn't stop there. "And have loved them even as you love me." That's so key. Crystal, that's exactly what you were talking about. That we are loved by God. It's not just that the world knows that the Father sent the Son, but Al and all those Al's that you know, that you work with or that you live across the street from or that you walk with, they need to know that God loves them, right? They need to know that God loves them. They need to know that they are precious in his sight. They need us to be consistent and to be loving and to show Christ in everything that we do so that they receive that themselves. Without that love, you know, there's no power in the gospel. There's nothing that's ever going to transform or change anyone's life unless we learn to love. Love each other. How are we going to love them? If I can't love Mike, how am I going to love Al? How? So it's about love. It's about love. And Jesus prayed that we would be one body so that the world would know that he was sent from the Father and so that the world would know that they're loved by God. For God so loved the world, right? For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. And in John 3, it says that how great is the love that the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Right? God lavishes his love. He loves you. You know, we need to get that message out. I think we need to say it to each other. We're going to say, "Crystal, God loves you." He does. He does love me too. And you know what? When you say that, that means something. There's power in that. I need to know that my Lord loves me. He loves me so much that he gave his life. He gave everything so that I could have life, I could live. There's power in the love. Are you getting that? We need to learn to love each other. We need to stand as one, even though we might have irritations and little differences. You know, we got to stand as one so that the world will know that God loves them. He's a God of love. And they will never turn to him. No one will ever turn to him unless they really believe that he loves them. Anything?
Well, when you're saying that, I was just thinking there's probably a lot of people who have never really experienced the love of their own earthly father, and we've talked about that before. And that can be a block. That can be a block to knowing the God's love in us. And yet, I think that God knows that. God knows that many of us here grew up in a lousy atmosphere where they weren't shown love. You weren't shown love, and you were shown the opposite of love. You were shown that you weren't worth anything. You don't feel that. But I do, because God knows that. God knows that. And so he can get through. He can get through to you, even if you haven't experienced the love of an earthly father. You can experience his love. And I think that simply just takes knowing that while you are still a sinner, Christ died for you. While you are still a sinner, Christ died for you, so that you can experience that love. And it's not that you have to conjure up love in yourself. You don't have to do that, because God will put that love in you. Because whenever we start trying to do things, that's when at least for me, that's when I mess up.
And he says, I love you. And like we just, you know, there's some real power in that. Sometimes that's all that needs to be said, you know, that he finds us when we're weak, or when we're really struggling, or we've gone through a particularly hard time. And sometimes we think that we need a long explanation. God, why? Well, tell me what's going on here. And all he really says is, you know, I love you. Douglas, I love you. It doesn't matter. I love you. Yeah. But God says it. I love you. I love you in spite of you. I love you in spite of the failings and the struggles. Do you understand that? Do you understand that you are so loved by God? That he loves you with a love that far surpasses anything you could ever imagine. If you have children, you know a little bit about what it is to love a child. Well, God's love for you is just enormously bigger than that. And Crystal's right. There's a lot of times where we go, oh yeah, but I'm such a loser. I have blown this so many ways. I am not very lovable. I have so many flaws and so many weaknesses. I'm so broken that don't tell me God loves me, because there's not one good reason why he would. And when we say that, God says, yeah, but I love you. I love you because I love you because I love you because I love you. I love you because you are my daughter. Even though you're going through a hard time, even though life is in conflict and everyone seems against you out in the world, I love you, Denise. That's what God says. Yeah, he does. He loves you so much, Denise. He loves you so much, Denise. He loves you so much, Denise. He just loves you, and he wants you to know that. He wants you to know that you are special to him, that you are precious in his sight, and that none of the rest of that stuff matters. All of that stuff in the world, it doesn't matter. All that matters is that you have a father who loves you. He loves you so much that he gave one son, the only son he had, to die for you. Yeah. Thank you, God. I love you. Until we get a grip on that, we won't be a voice that the world will hear. We won't be. Until we get an understanding of the depth of the love of God. What does Romans say, right? That we are more than conquerors, and he loves us, you know, higher than the highest heights. He loves us deeper than the deepest pit. His love is a wide love. It's deep. It's a great love. Amen? Thank you, God. You know that it's our sin and our sin nature that leaves us insecure. And there's a lot of us who struggle with that. I'm a sinner. I have blown it. I have ruined. I have hurt people. I have done so much destructive work. And that sin, that nature leads, it gets us back to the bottle. We go back doing things that we don't ever think we'd ever want to do again. It's all because of one thing. We don't really believe that God loves us. We don't know that he loves us to the depth that he loves us. So know that today. He loves you. He loves you. He died for you. He has lavished his love for you. He doesn't, in other words, he doesn't just sprinkle it like a salt pepper shaker, right? He lavishes it. Stand up. I love you, right? It's that kind of love. I love you. You are my son. You are my disciple. You are mine. And I love you with the divine love that took my son to the cross. I love you. You are mine. I love you. I could kiss you, but it would look wrong. There's only so far we go. Right? I love you. I love you. God loves you. And when we love each other, it's not a hard sermon, but when we love each other and we hold hands, and it's not weird to do that, and we go out in the world and we tell the world that God loves them, it's going to change, it's going to transform lives, but it will not happen if we can't get along. It will not happen if he just keeps irritating me and I keep telling everybody and I gossip and I slander him. It will not happen. Crystal, say something.
Well, it just brought me, one of my favorite passages is Ephesians 3, where it says, and Paul's praying and he's going, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he, God, may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Because that's really what we're talking about here, being filled to the fullness of God. And it's just that the prayer is that God will strengthen us with his spirit. So his spirit has to be in here in us to strengthen us, to give us a strength so that we can understand. Because on our own, we won't know his love. We can't know his love. But with the power of his spirit that goes into us, we can begin to glimpse that amazing love that he has for us.
Amen. Amen. One more thing, because I think that Jesus is saying three things here, and know this too, that really he's talking about the world in each instance. He's praying for his disciples, he's praying for the new believers, for all believers, but it's all about the world, right? It's so that the world will know you sent me, and so the world will know that they are loved by me. Well, there's one more thing he says. It's in verse 24. He says, and Father, I want those that you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory. The glory that you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. What is it that Jesus wants? He wants the world to be saved. He wants the world to be with him in glory. So it's he wants them to see that he's sent by God. He wants them to realize that they're loved by God. And he says, and I want the world to be in glory. All that are mine, he says. All that are mine. And that word, actually, I want, in this instance, in verse 24, Father, I want those, is actually a word that would be used in making a will in those days, like a last will and testament. So it's like, this is God, he's saying to his Father, this is my last will and testament. This is what I want, Lord, is my inheritance. I want that all of those that you've given me will be with me where I am, that they will share in my glory. What is it that God wants? He wants the world to be saved. He wants all those who are his, all those who will respond to him, he wants all of those to be with him in glory. And that's going to happen. Again, it all hinges on one thing, right? It hinges on whether we're going to follow this prayer and we're going to stand one in the Spirit and as one body in Christ. And you know, let's face it, it's not easy to do. It's hard to do. And I think you'd have a hard time finding a church that's more diverse. Let me use nice words. We're pretty diverse. We're pretty diverse. I was in a church for a long time where we all came from, you know, the same ethnic community. I won't say which one. You know, and there was some, if we were all Swedish, let's say, if we all were grown up and brought up the same way, it would be easier. We have the same kind of values sometimes. We have the same family traditions, maybe. We don't have that here. We come from every different part of the continuum, right? Some of us are all the way over here. Some of us are all the way over there. We have differences of opinion, different backgrounds. Some, you know, Catholic background, some wild Pentecostal background, some Reform background. And somehow, God puts us together and says, now you guys become one body. It's not easy to do because we're not all the same. But we don't need to be the same. We need to be united. You understand that? And here's what the word is saying today, that when that happens, when we work at this, and we can't make it happen, only God's Spirit can make it happen. Let's get that clear. That God's Spirit can make us one, and he will make us one, but we need to be ready to surrender to the Holy Spirit. When we surrender to the Holy Spirit, he will make us one, and we will have a voice like we've never had before. Yeah. Amen? When people see that we're walking together and there's some who are weak and some who are strong and some are old and some are young and some who are broken and some who've just been recently healed. When the world sees that, there'll be a change in their attitude. And what we bring to them in terms of the gospel will have authenticity. It'll be genuine. They'll go, this has got to be real, because there's no way that Don would ever get going with Stan. There's no way that we'd get along, right? There's no way if it wasn't for the Spirit of God. There's no way if it wasn't for the love that God has imparted into our lives. God puts his love in us. He puts it in our hearts. And it's where our power comes from. It's the desire of Jesus. It was his desire. It is his desire that the world will be saved. That people will turn to him. Right? That they'll be with him in glory. He says, I'm not willing that any should perish, he says. I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to an everlasting, eternal life. Thank you, God. So, I guess, you know, what this message is about is it isn't just one more nice thing that we add on to our Christian list of things that we should be doing, but this is integral to who we are. This is the very foundation of whether we're going to be Christ to the world or not. This is about whether we are going to stand together as one no matter what. And what it means is that we're going to need to be willing to forgive each other. We're going to need to be willing to bear with each other in our weaknesses and in our failures and in our annoyances. Because some of you are very annoying. And so am I. We gotta bear with that. We gotta, Paul says it, right? Bear with one another, forgive one another, and love one another. Even if they're annoying, even if they have a whole different background than you do, even if they worship God in a different way, or they like different music than you like, love them. But God, love them. But Lord, love them. Just love them. Love them with all your heart. Love your neighbor. Love the Lukes of this world and the Chrises and the Luises. Love them. Love them. Because I love you, the Father says. I love you so much. I love you through the hard times. I love you though you're broken. I love you even though you had this terrible addiction in your life. I love you though you're lonely. I love you. I've shown my love to you. Now you show your love to Luke, because if you don't, you'll never be able to show your love to that other person, the Al's out there, never. Because you'll have no validity. You'll have no voice. There'll be nothing about you that is real. It won't, there'll be nothing about you that people will say, now that's the genuine article. Nothing will be genuine or authentic unless we really learn to love each other. Right, Crystal? Is there more? No. All right. Thank you, God. Okay. Love never fails. That's a great promise. Love never fails. You say amen to that? And that is a promise that we can hold on to. So why don't we just close our eyes? Let's just, I want you to spend a little time this morning and just think. And right now, just think about where you've been. Think about what you've been struggling with, or maybe who you've been struggling with. Maybe a name or a person comes to mind that you think, I've had a hard time loving that person. Maybe I've even said something derogatory, or I've gossiped, or I've just not liked this person. Just think about this. It's time to do that heart check that Crystal's talking about. How have you loved? How well have you loved? And who is hard to love in your life? God, I pray right now that you'll just soften our hearts, because we need to learn to forgive and accept and to include every single one, Lord. And as we just evaluate our hearts, Lord, I pray that you'll bring to mind people that we need to deal with, that you'll bring to mind all that you're going to do, God, in our church and in our lives. We want the power. There's no doubt about it. We want the power. We want to be a church that proclaims the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. But God, you're telling us today that none of that's going to really happen. We're never going to reach the potential that you have for us until we stand united in Christ. So we declare today we want that in our lives. We want that in our church. Help us, Lord, to be tolerant and gentle and gracious and kind, because we're not always kind. God, let that kindness start to just rise up in us in a supernatural way, because we can't bring it up in ourselves. That love, Lord, that love that never fails is a love that you impart to us. So do it right now, God. We want to be a people of love. Oh, God, we've blown that so many times. Lord, I'm sorry today. I'm sorry today for the people that I've turned off and turned away from you, for the part that I've contributed to bringing that mixed message to the world. Lord, we're sorry today for being religious. We're sorry for building our own empire instead of building the mighty kingdom of God. Mostly, Jesus, I thank you for the cross. Thank you that you showed us love in a way that is so hard to even get our minds around. For the weight of sin, for the suffering, for the abuse, for the heaviness that I contributed to you on the cross. I thank you. This is love. That Christ laid down his life for you. That while you were yet sinners, he died for you. This is love. have your way, God. You are the potter, so soften us up and show us, God, how to do this better. I thank you that you're always a God of new beginnings and that you'll start us again. And so we just give in, Lord. We surrender. Remove the hardness that's in our hearts. Just remind us too, God, that that person is just as loved by you as we are. That person that's in our mind's eye, that person that we have such a hard time stomaching, we can just hardly stand being in the same room as her. Is someone you love enormously. Or him. There's some hymns too. Yeah. Right now, God, just pray by your Holy Spirit. You will fill us with divine love. That our motives will be pure and true. That we will make right what we have made wrong. Even though only it's only by you, God, but we'll take that effort. We'll go and tell someone that we forgive them. We will correct. We will get back engaged in conversations with people that we are avoiding and that we won't speak to anymore. And we repent of that, God, in Jesus' name. And we are ready to be used by you, God. You do what you want to do. Use us, Lord, in your ways. You are great, God. I'm so glad, Jesus, that you prayed for me. I'm so glad that you prayed for this church. I'm so glad that you pleaded of the Father that we would be one as you and the Father are one. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will love one another. We will walk hand in hand. We will love one another. We will walk hand in hand. We will love one another. We will walk hand in hand. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. More love, more power, more of you in my life. More love, more power, more of you in my life. Sing more love. More love, more power, more of you in my life. More love, more power, more of you in my life. And I will worship you with all of my heart. And I will worship you with all of my mind. I will worship you with all of my strength. You are my Lord. You are my
God good?
All the time.
You say amen? Is God good? God, make us one as you are one. If you want prayer today, just come. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Give you peace. Amen? Celebrate God's
rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Open.